All right, everybody, it's time to say it. Merry Christmas. Christmas is finally here. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And I'm wondering right now if you've already done it, please let us know in the comments below, what Christmas movie have you already watched or had on in the background? I'd love to know your go-to Christmas movies. As we move on through the next few weeks, we will be talking about Jesus coming to earth at Christmas time as a baby. And I'm going to be mentioning and referencing some of our favorite Christmas movies. And I'd love to know which ones you like as well. And my all-time favorite Christmas story outside of the Bible is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And a little gem, if you have some of the streaming services, A Muppet's Christmas Carol is my favorite. I think it's the best Christmas movie right after Die Hard. Actually, I've never seen Die Hard, but a few of you have told me about it, and you need to go spend some time with Jesus. I love that joke too, so thank you for humoring me. But in A Christmas Carol, we have Ebenezer Scrooge, who his famous phrase is "Bah humbug." And I love just the idea that it's never too late. I love the idea that no one is beyond redemption. And I love the interactions between Scrooge and his nephew. And they're talking about, especially at the beginning of the movies, where his nephew celebrates Christmas and he keeps it in his own way. And Scrooge is just, he doesn't celebrate any of it. And his life is all about money and accomplishing things with his bank. And growing up in the church, sometimes I feel like I swing back and forth between being kind of Scroogey about the way people celebrate Christmas. I remember I used to have in high school, it was a sweatshirt that had cursive writing on it that said, "Jesus is the reason for the season." And that's a true statement. But I would wear it and being like the Christmas judge and be like, Jesus is the reason for the season, everybody, and you're too commercialized." Like, I would use that wonderful, true phrase as a battering ram, whether it was verbally and directly to my friends and family or people in my neighborhood, or just inside my heart. And I became Mr. Judgy Pants over the way, you're spending way too much money on those lights. Like, what? What is that even about? And as I've been preparing for this Christmas season, and obviously we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus, but as I was looking at, I have some awesome neighbors across the street from me, and their house is all decorated with Christmas, and there's Santa Claus on there, and the reindeer, and there's so much mythology that our culture has injected into the way we celebrate Christmas right now here in 2020. And there's a lot of things that aren't in the Bible. And if the first Christians got in a time machine and came to my neighborhood to see how we celebrate Christmas, I'm sure they would be very confused. Like, what is that giant inflatable Grinch, like this green thing that has nothing to do with the Christmas story? And inside my heart, I've been just going around and watching people talk about Christmas over the years, just thinking like, if Jesus was here, I don't think he would demonize those folks. I think he would find a way to reverse it and build upon this season. And some people call it, like in the Christmas Carol, it's called a season of generosity, and build upon the building blocks that are there to share God's love. So today, I would love for us, as we're spending a couple of minutes together, I'd love for us to reflect on the meaning of Christmas and why the manger, why the Messiah coming as a baby like he did, why that matters to you and me in the midst of a global pandemic. So I want to share some scriptures with you and talk about why Christmas matters from a really high-up level, and then bring it down to a street level as well. So if you're following along, please grab a Bible and follow along with me, because we're going to get through some pretty dense stuff. Or you can check out our YouVersion Bible app and find Solid Ground Church on there, and you can totally follow along that way. But one of my favorite beginnings to the Christmas story starts at the beginning in John chapter 1. The language in here is beautiful. Verses 1 through 5 and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He's talking about Jesus here. Jesus is the Word of God, what God is all about. And Jesus was there and he was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. It all starts and stops and continues with Jesus. Jesus isn't plan B. He was plan A, is plan A from the beginning and even till now. And in Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We've gone through dark days, my friends, already, and we know nothing's magically going to change on December 31st, but this is a reminder that even though we face uncertainty, even though we don't know what tomorrow or next week is going to hold, we can stand firm on the statement that the darkness has not overcome the light. A 50-cent flashlight will cut through the deepest, darkest darkness. The light is stronger, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. And then it comes to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I love how Eugene Peterson puts it in his Message translation, that God put on flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Now, that idea to me is just amazing, that a creator, that God created this, everything that we see and everything that we experience, God created this and then became the creation. One of my good friends, Steve, he's right off camera, gave me this idea a couple, I guess it was about a year ago. Like, imagine making something, if we had the ability to make something with Play-Doh and make like a little Play-Doh town and a Play-Doh house, and then we ourselves became Play-Doh and could make ourselves into the same thing and then would die for the things that we made. That's blown my mind. And that's what God did. That's how much you mean to God. That's how much we mean to God. He became this creation. And this is a really big deal to us. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures, and then we'll get to what difference it makes to in this day and age. Because this is a big deal, because our whole existence is pointing towards the most important question that we can answer. You know, who do we say Jesus is? Who is Jesus? This is deeply woven into our DNA, into our very existence. And there's a conversation Jesus is having in John chapter 14 with his disciples. And Jesus says, he's preparing them for his crucifixion and his resurrection. And Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And then I love the raw, sometimes we can just read through these passages and think, oh, you know, everything was just fine. But really, John here captures the rawness of his disciples not getting it. So if you get confused about stuff you read in the Bible, confused about the way this works, the good news is you're not alone, because even people that were with Jesus still missed it. And I love Thomas's courage here. He spoke up, and Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" You know, Jesus is talking about things on a couple different layers here. And Thomas speaks up and says, wait a minute, can I get some clarification? Jesus wants to give you clarification. I love Jesus's response to him. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You know, the point of this, the point of following Jesus is to get to know Jesus. We were created to have a relationship with God. And Jesus is saying, there's not a way to a place. Like, he is the way. He's the way to God. They already are there. They're so close. And then another disciple, Philip, pipes up and says, Lord, will show us the Father. And then that will be enough for us. That's a step forward in understanding. And Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So getting to know Jesus, they were getting to know God. That's what John began his book with, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Like, when we get to know this person of Jesus, we are getting to know the creator of the universe, getting to know their relationship and watch that relationship. And the good news is, we're invited into that same relationship. This is a big deal. Other places in Scripture, I won't read the whole verse, but Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, it talks again about everything that's created in this world was created by and for and through Jesus, and he's actually holding all of this together. I love Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Christ, who came as this little baby, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Everything about God was condensed into this little baby. And now Hebrews 1:1-3 tells us, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. We listen to Jesus because God is speaking through him. We get to know God by this person of Jesus. I think it's interesting that in the New Testament, the times that we hear, that we read that God actually spoke in the New Testament, he was saying, listen to Jesus. Jesus gets baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. He comes out of the water and the clouds part and the dove comes down and they hear in a loud voice, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. In whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. There's the scene in Matthew chapter 17 that parallels this, and there's this transfiguration, and Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah, and the voice after Peter speaks up, God's voice from heaven comes and says, this is my Son, listen to him. We're supposed to get to know a person of Jesus. Jesus doesn't just show us God's love. He shows us the relationship with God. And like I said before, he invites us into it. And I said it twice on purpose because this is the invitation. You know, it's easier for us for some reason, in many ways, at Christmas time, to see the softer side of God. So many of us, for a myriad of different reasons, have this view of God that God is this angry person with a white beard up in heaven waiting to zap us every time we step out of line. But there's something about the tenderness about the way Jesus came as a helpless baby in the back part of the Roman Empire that reminds us of the tenderness of God towards us. And the invitation to follow Jesus is just that. It's an invitation. It's not, you better follow me or else. It's, come follow me. This is the way you were created to live. Following my teachings will lead you to the most joy, the most peace, the most contentment. I want you to do this. But it's nothing, God doesn't want us to just get to the level of compliance. Jesus showed by his example, he showed by even his birth and all the way up to his death and resurrection, just how much, just how far he will go for us and how important we are to him, how valuable we are to him. So this sets up this irony for me that I've been thinking about the past few weeks. We're supposed to get to know the person of Jesus. One theologian says it this way, the incarnation, that means God putting on flesh and blood and moving into the neighborhood. The incarnation means that God wants to meet us personally and not textually, not from just the Bible. Like, God wants us to experience Jesus. But the text of the scripture is our best record of Jesus's life and his context. So another person put it this way, we're not people of the book, but people of the person. Yet precisely because we are Jesus people, we cherish and study and meditate upon and pray through and discuss the book together as the body of Christ to hear what the Spirit of Jesus is saying today. So I think God has a sense of humor. We're supposed to get to know a person, but we have a book. But it didn't just end there. Because of the Holy Spirit, when we surrender our lives to Jesus and when we're living in community with other people, we're experiencing now even a greater understanding, and it's easier to experience that the church isn't merely a building. Like now, we're gathering together with people literally from all over the world, and we're being the church. You know, after Jesus ascended back into heaven, we received the Holy Spirit, and now we're experiencing us with Christ in us. We are becoming, and we are meant to be, the body of Christ and present to the world. The Apostle Paul says it this way, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, and we all have a role to play. And it's all connected to this Christmas story. Like, Jesus comes to show us what God is like. He's in the Father, and the Father is in him, and now we're in this relationship. Now we have Christ in us. And wherever we go, one of my pastors when I was in college, his name's Ed Gunger, used to call us porta temples. Like, we're portable temples everywhere we go. And we have a little bit of this mystery of the Christmas incarnation. We can experience that when we go into a situation and someone's hurting or we don't know what to do. We have access through the Holy Spirit to say, God, I know you're present in me. Use me in this situation. And it may just be to listen. It may not be to have some grand, wise thing to say that fixes everything, but just the presence of Jesus in you can change whatever environment you find yourself in. And you're not there alone. And you don't have to figure it out alone. We are the body of Christ. In the book Transforming Discipleship, Greg Ogden says this, Jesus continues his incarnation by dwelling in his people. The life of Jesus is still being manifest among people, but now no longer through an individual physical body limited to one place on earth, but through a complex corporate body called the church. So that's what we're now we're like walking Christmases, if that makes sense. We're with Jesus inside of us. We're like, it's, another way to say it is maybe Christmas didn't just happen, but it happens when we're aware of Jesus living inside of us. And it's so easy to forget as we're going on autopilot through our day, or so easy to forget as we become quite understandably overwhelmed with our circumstances and overwhelmed with the problems in our day-to-day life and in our culture. But we have an opportunity to experience Christ coming again, or perhaps the opportunity for us to remember that Jesus has always been with us and is always inside of us and is ready to help with whatever that we need. So as you move through this holiday season, knowing that Jesus didn't just come, he's still here, and you have the opportunity to have Jesus inside of you, let's retrain our brains and start looking for Jesus. Like, where's Jesus going to show up? And asking some of these questions. How can I see Jesus in this person that I'm with? Where is Jesus? Jesus is in there somewhere. For other people, how can you serve Jesus through serving the people in your life and the people that are around you? And how can you show Jesus, the Jesus that you have inside of you? How can you show that to other people? So I know we've talked about a lot of throwing around some pretty big words, incarnation and things like that. So if you're sitting there going, okay, what does all this mean now? The big idea here and the really good news here, to me, it all boils down to this. We live in this world that God has made, that God entered into it, and God is still in it. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid anymore because God is here. We may feel like we're in darkness, but as we surrender to God, as we trust him, we can stand on that promise that the light hasn't been overcome by the darkness. And we're going to talk about that more next week. But I thought we could just experience a reminder of that by taking communion together. We take communion the first week of every month, and hopefully you've had time to go and grab some of the elements, and you can still do that right now. If you're watching on demand, you can hit the pause button. And even though we're not on the same in the same room together, I believe there's no distance in prayer. And this communion, what a great tangible way to remember that God is with us, that we're participating in this remembrance. And these symbols of Christ's body and his blood that was shed for us. And in the middle of all of that, he's still with us, just as real as you can feel the wafer or the bread or the cracker in your hands, and as real as you can feel the cup in your hands. It's a tangible reminder of God's invitation to us to experience the relationship with him. So if you would please just hold the wafer in your hand and break it or tear it a little bit. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Dear Jesus, as we reflect on your broken body, we give to you all the broken things in our lives, all of our fears, all of our mistakes, all of our anxiety, and we thank you that you are with us and we are not alone in facing that. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Dear Jesus, we find ourselves again waiting for you to come, waiting for you to wash this world clean of darkness, of sin, of dysfunction, of rebellion. And God, we thank you for cleansing us and cleansing our hearts, and we remember your sacrifice. Well, next week, we're going to continue talking about why the manger matters and why Jesus coming matters. But until then, I hope you have a great week. And we'll continue to ask God to give you a radar for what Jesus is up to in your life, around you, and how God's ever-present help is available to you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, and no matter where you've been. God has a beautiful plan for all of this, and God has a beautiful plan for you as well. So this week, may the Lord bless you and keep you and continue to open your eyes and your heart and your awareness to all the ways Jesus is with you. May you sense God turning his face towards you and smiling upon you, and may the Lord give you his peace. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you and Merry Christmas.